Your shooting, I met Jose Padilla after seeing his most recent, the second part of that, what's wrong with me? I just blanked on it. You know, it's really good. I saw it at the...
Elite Squad.
Yeah. I saw it at the Palm Springs Film Festival, and he was there, and I thought, wow, this is really... I didn't expect it to be as good as it was, so, I mean, obviously, I think that's what... I don't know if he was hired to do RoboCop after they saw that, but that sold me on the guy, and he's really sweet, and I just loved him personally, and, you know, so I just thought it was great that you're in this thing, so...
Cheers. Yeah, I watched Elite Squad and Elite Squad 2 back-to-back one night because RoboCop happened really fast. It kind of happened all in the space of a week and a half.
So
I watched, as soon as I knew Jose was really interested in me, I watched all of... I actually had a Jose Padilla Film Fest one night. I was up from about 10 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, okay.
And I watched Elite Squad and Elite Squad 2 back-to-back, and... That, they're hard movies to watch back to back. They're intense movies. It's like a documentary, you know, because Jose's history of filmmaking is documentary filmmaking.
Right.
Which is insane to think that the director of RoboCop, of a $160 million, you know, MGM film, is essentially a Brazilian documentary filmmaker.
Well, that's what I think, that's why I expect and I sense. That RoboCop is going to be is not going to be another sort of somebody trying to do the Paul Verhoeven thing. But it's going to be something else. I don't know what, but I'm presuming because he has such a strong and assured hand that I was really delighted when I heard he was going to do it. So.
For sure, I feel the same way, and I think he's done that. I think he's elevated it for sure.
Right. So I saw the girl at Tribeca way, way back, and I was on my way to see some. What was I on the way? It was. I only saw the girl and one other film, but the it's you know I became a fan immediately, Abby. I think it's the you know really good acting call on your part and just a lot of integrity. You know because she's not the character you're playing, as we know, is not emblematic of the, she's not in the greatest shape. In the beginning, she's obviously vulnerable, and she's divorced, right? And then she's kind of living in a dicey kind of a trailer thing. She's dealing with custody, and she makes a mistake. She makes a mistake. It seems to me right away when she decides to go down to her dad's place in Mexico. She knows that the people are on her. They're watching her, and they might pop into her place at any moment. And to see if you're, you know, keeping the place tidy and whether you're appropriate for a child to live with you and everything. And they find a couple of tequila bottles left over from your time with Dad down in Mexico. It just seems like, Jesus, what'd you do that for? I was saying to myself, you know. But then she finds this kind of adventure or drama, if you will, and this wonderful little girl who you tie in with, who you take responsibility for. And it's a pretty moving thing once it gets into Act Two, but it was nervy, and I like that it was written in the way it was, and it just felt like a ballsy good drama that I really thought was good. So.
Oh, for sure, yeah, it wasn't written for any other reason but because David Bricker felt that film needed to be written. There's no nothing's telling you how to think or feel, and. It's not a manipulative film. Like it definitely has a lot of heart and soul in there. So of course it's just an emotional film.
Right.
But I think I think all of the emotion and the story is very much driven in the way it is for a reason. Like it's not manipulative. And I think also I don't think any. You know, I mean, you couldn't get any further from you know your typical sort of Hollywood film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
it's definitely an art house film. It's definitely an independent film. I mean, it's so lovely that those films are still being made too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because of course.
You know how it is, even in the music industry, in the film industry. It's all. I mean, it's so fascinating. the divide is becoming much greater, and so it's pretty wonderful as an actor to be in a film like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and also nice in life, you know. It's funny, like just talking about this today, because obviously it's been a long time since we made the film, but just talking about it today, it's reminding me how much of an amazing life experience it was, and how it changed my life, and what a gift that was. Like, I couldn't have spent a better 3 months traveling around in Mexico than I did on that film. Mm. You know,
what was it? Was it in 2010, Abby, or was it in 2011? When did you make it?
I made that film last. Sorry, I'm just thinking chronologically. It wasn't this year. So, yeah, last April, I got back. Oh, no, that's right. I got back just before my birthday. So, yeah, in 2011, in April, May, June, July.
Okay, right.
Got back at the very end of July.
Yeah. And I really like that. I love the ending. I thought it was very serene and it felt right. And I love that girl. That she was really a good actress. In fact, she was the, one could say that she's actually the more centered and the stronger of the two of you, at least initially.
Totally.
You know.
Yep. Totally.
So it was. She was great. I guess what was she pro to some level, or did they find she just a natural that he happened to find when he cast in Mexico, or how did that work?
She's a non-actor, and he actually cast all over Mexico for that role, and over a space of years. I think he cast that role for like 3 years or something. The film for him was in development for 7 years.
Oh my goodness.
He tried to find that role for a few years, and when he found it, got all the funding in place, you know, hired me, all that sort of stuff, and shot the movie. But
yeah.
That was such a pivotal part. But yeah, non-actor.
Yeah.
A poorer family, you know, more of a lower income family.
Mm-hmm.
First time that she'd ever slept in a real bed with sheets was when we were in rehearsals. First time she'd ever been in an elevator was when we were in rehearsals.
Right.
The family was able to, like, put money into a car and that sort of thing. It was like it was life-changing for them as well, and I think it was...
Yeah.
Very much bigger deal than having, you know, your daughter in a film. It was about their lives being changed and affected, and because that could go either way too, with a non-actor and for a poorer part of town, it could go either way. But I think it was a very positive thing in their lives.
Yeah.
I think it's remained a positive thing in their lives. And she's a really special girl, Maritza. Like, I feel a little bit like emotional talking about it, because it's not just some kid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, it's not some kid that's grown up getting the toys for Christmas. It's not a kid who has an iPad or a, who's played video games or has a computer. You know, it's not like that. This is a young girl who sort of grown up with not really much at all. You know, and has grown up in a very cultural part of Mexico and a totally different way of life, and all of a sudden is on a film set with a camera in her, you know, in front of her, and being told, okay, now you're going to do a scene where you're crying because your mother's gotten missing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, how does that 9-year-old girl who didn't grow up with a television, who's never seen a movie, do that? It's kind of crazy, you know, but that's what makes it so special, I think, as well. But yeah, it's all her. Like, that, she didn't act that movie. I'll tell you that right now. She just was.
Right, right, yeah. How far down did you go at the end? Where was that beautiful country portion of Mexico where you find her grandmother and you drop her off, and that's kind of where the end of it, where it happens. Where was that exactly?
San Juan Chicomezuchil, which is like S-A-N space J-A-U-N.
Yeah.
Chicomezuchil, Chicomezuchil, is about an hour and a half out of Oaxaca, and it's in the mountains. So when we shot there for a week and a half, so we all had to stay up there. I actually got really sick that weekend, so I asked if I could go back into town for a night, just sleep in a real bed and stuff. So I went back just for one night.
Right.
But because I got really sick for some reason there. But it was incredible. We all stayed in cabins up in the hills. You know, you'd wake up as the sun was rising, and it was, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And it was it's a very magical place. It's all totally self-sufficient, mm-hmm. and it's very much as it was hundreds of years ago. It's like, you know, all the water runs fresh, all the vegetables are grown there, everything's traded between everyone. That right. They take their produce down into town, but nothing comes, you know, it's not, the things don't come up from town.
Right.
And a very spiritual place. Like, it was kind of a little bit intense shooting there, actually. But it was kind of a little bit guerrilla style as well. Like, we just sort of trudge around and very respectful because it's such an ancient town and the elders, like, we, you know, it was a very interesting time. I actually took a video camera with me when I went to Mexico, and I shot my experience of making the film, like, through my eyes from the day I left Los Angeles to the day I got back to Los Angeles. So I actually have about 20 hours of footage from the whole experience, and most of it's shot. I'm not in most of it, obviously, because I'm shooting it. But there's times when someone grabs the camera from me and says, "I'm going to film you so that you're in your, you know, in your movie." It wasn't about that for me at all. I just felt like there was something I needed to capture.
Sure.
And it's actually hard for me to watch the footage. I've only sat down and watched the majority of it once, and it was about a month after I got back, because it was a little bit of a clunky ride back into the Western world and back into normality. Like, I kind of had a little bit of a post-film experience depression of some sort, because it was so magical and so life-changing. I kind of got back and I was like, well, how do I implement everything I just learned and everything I just saw into this world, into this life? And it took me a while to figure that out, and I actually had to write a lot of it down to figure it out, to make sense of it, what I'd learned, what the lessons were that I'd learned, and the people that I'd met and what it meant. Because, and I was sort of very conscious too of not just letting it go, because it's easy to get back. You know, it's like, you know that theory, you know, when you go on holiday and it's really relaxing and it's incredible and you're sitting there and you've got, you know, you're having your breakfast looking out over this beautiful ocean and the breeze is perfect and you've got a little bit of sun on your skin and you feel like $1 million and you think, oh, I'm going to remember this feeling when I get home. You know, like, this system. You know what I mean? You're like, this is where it's at. If I could live my life from this place, if I could make every business phone call from this place,
yeah.
My life would be really good. If I could spread this to the world, I would make the world a better place. Yeah. And then you get back, within 2 days, you're back to your normal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? All of a sudden, you forgot that feeling, you know. And so I kind of had this consciousness of keeping that feeling alive and making that resonate into the rest of my life. And I know I'm getting off track from the film a little bit, but I guess the point I'm making is that it was a bit more than just making a film, and all these people and all these places have stayed with me.
You know, funny, I felt the very same way. I was just in Vietnam, and North Vietnam, particularly near Hanoi, reminded me of being near a Mexican city. It reminded me of Mexico, and it reminded me of the south of France, and parts of it like reminded me of Paris. It was just wonderful, and I had the exact same feeling, which is that this is sublime. I haven't been in an environment, I haven't felt this way. It's like it is bringing out things in me that I've forgotten about or that I hadn't nurtured, and it was just great. So, and I feel exactly the same way when I came back. So, you know, same deal. So,
crazy, right?
Yeah. So I was wondering if you could just tell me the last time, because I so love, I think I told you this when I met you at that party, that I so love the way your voice sounds when you speak in your natural Australian accent. When did you last use, was it Candy your last use your natural accent? When was that? Which film?
Truly it was, but I've obviously in Seven Psychopaths I speak with an Australian accent, but I had like 10 lines in that movie, or five, maybe not even that many, and it wasn't really I think that film's amazing, and I think all the actors did an incredible job, but, you know, I mean, my part was like a tiny little cameo,
right.
You know? It was like, I didn't do anything in that movie, and so I don't know if that really counts, but, but yeah, it's been a while. I would love to do a film in my own accent.
Well, according to what I'm reading on your resume here, there's one called Kill Me Three Times. Is that something that's real, or is that just an imagination on the part of the IMDb? Because it seems to be set in Australia.
I had a chat with them for a while about that, but I don't think I'm going to do that.
Okay, all right. All right, that's fine. How about Fellini Black and White, pre-production?
Oh, yeah. I'm hoping that goes, that film. I'm attached to that. And Wagner, 3 Degrees of Separation, Wagner Moore is doing that too, who was in Elite Squad and Elite Squad 2.
Okay. That's about Fellini's first trip to the States prior to him becoming a filmmaker? I didn't know. Is this real or is this imagined?
No, he's actually already a filmmaker. It was his. I don't have the chronology on,
yeah,
like in my head at the moment. But it was when he was first nominated for an Academy Award,
right.
And I can't. It was 1970. I want to say 72 or 73, but I could be wrong. Could have been earlier.
All right.
But yeah, he came here for about 3 days with his wife, and basically, it's based on facts, but it's totally made up at the same time. So they have, like, you know, he's flight in, he's flight out. They have like a vague, you know, there's a vague record of the fact that he sort of disappeared for a while, where he stayed, maybe a couple of places, but everything else is made up. But basically, he arrived in America and just sort of went off on a tangent, you know, and so the film's sort of about those 3 days leading up to the Academy Awards, and he nearly doesn't make it there, and all the events that sort of precede him not making it there, nearly not making it there. It's a very fun film, very wild and very fun. That's why I really hope that, you know,
right,
we get dates and it gets locked in, because it's, and I know Wagner,
yeah,
Morrow would just kill that role. He's such a good actor.
It's funny, you know, when I asked you about your Australian accent, you know, I started to watch Seven Psychopaths in Toronto, and I went to it with great, you know, had such great feelings about The Behanding in Spokane, the Martin McDonagh play that Chris Walken was in, and I loved the Pillow Man with Billy Crudup, and of course I loved In Bruges, so I was really cranked for it, and I didn't like it. It was weird, but I just thought it was kind of a Tarantino wank of some sort, and I just didn't dig it that much, so I didn't stick around. So that's why I didn't see you or your, you know. But I've got the screener, so I'll give it another go. So.
Yeah, well, honestly, from my part of the film, you didn't miss anything. I really don't. I did that film because I love Martin, and
yeah,
I love,
yeah,
I, you know, I'm a huge Sam Rockwell fan,
right,
massive Christopher Walken fan, and
yeah,
I think even getting to know Colin too, like, he's a very dedicated, very focused actor, and I really respected him, and like, I sort of did that role as more for fun than anything,
yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
I think the film's really interesting. And it's different, and it's intellectual, and it's wacky, and it's kind of wild, and it's a film. Like,
right,
it's not, there's no magic involved there. Like, it's actually, you know, you're watching a movie, and you know you're having a laugh.
Yeah.
You know, good actors saying good lines.
You're a pretty shrewd judge of everything. Have you seen anything new, just to get off the tangent for a second? Have you seen any of the year-end films? Do you like anything in particular?
Have I seen any of the what, sorry?
The year-end films, the ones that are happening right now, the November, December, presumed, the award-quality films. Have you had a chance, or are you working too hard on RoboCop?
I actually haven't had a chance, but I have a few backed up that I have been meaning to watch. But, yeah, I've been busy with RoboCop, and I'm working on music stuff too, so I've been a little out of touch,
right,
with that. But, yeah, I really want to sit and watch it.
Yeah.
A lot of, I actually finish on RoboCop next week.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So you guys shooting it mainly here, right? You're mainly in the Los Angeles area? Or
Toronto, actually. All in Toronto.
All in Toronto, excuse me. Okay,
yeah,
great. And no studio work here. It's all being done up there. Okay.
Great. It's all being done there. Everything's in Toronto, yeah.
Right. And is that where you're calling from as we speak?
No, I'm in Los Angeles right now. I've got a few days off before I've got to go back.
Okay, all right. That's good. All right, Abby, it was great talking to you. I really want to tell you how much I do respect that you did a really good job in a really different and cool film with a girl, and I really liked it, and I'll repeat that feeling again in my comments before I run this. So,
thank you so much.
Good hearing from you, and I hope to see you again at one of Phillips Barbecues.